Pharmacy Nation, I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 148. In this episode, I'll discuss interference of oral 10A inhibitors with heparin 10A assays. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode148. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. Teaching pharmacists how to care for critically ill patients is a passion of mine. That's one of the reasons I've opened the Critical Care Pharmacy Academy. The academy is entirely self-paced and is designed to help busy practicing pharmacists develop new critical care skills and stay ahead of the vast critical care literature. Wendy, a current Academy member, has this to say. The Academy has been a great resource and learning experience for me. The classes have helped me tremendously, especially with teaching the pharmacy students that rotate around my institution. Since I've been out of school over 10 years, the classes are a great refresher for me too. Also, Pharmacy Joe keeps me up on the latest literature and guideline publications, which is important for clinical pharmacists. I highly recommend Pharmacy Joe's Critical Care Pharmacy Academy for pharmacists that want to keep up with the changing trends in the field of pharmacy. To learn more, go to pharmacyjoe.com/academy. In episode 57, I discussed the new CHEST guideline recommendations, which give preference to the new oral anticoagulants to treat VTE over warfarin in patients without cancer. Naturally, this new recommendation has increased the number of patients that come to the hospital on apixaban, edoxaban, or rivaroxaban. Parallel to the increase in use of oral factor 10A inhibitors, is the use of anti-factor 10A assays to monitor heparin infusions in hospitalized patients in place of APTT. I discussed this back in episode 126. To find the therapeutic APTT range of heparin, the laboratory must compare APTT and anti-10A activity in a few samples and then find the best fit line that correlates APTT to an anti-10A level of 0.3 to 0.7 units per ml. The main benefits of monitoring heparin by anti-10A are said to be better correlation to actual heparin level, better defined target that won't change with each reagent batch like APTT does, and less interference from hemolysis, warfarin, and liver disease. Current anti-10A level assays are chromogenic. In the presence of factor 10A inhibition, the color change of the assay can be used to determine the exact heparin level. Color change will occur regardless of whether the factor 10A inhibition comes from heparin or apixaban, edoxaban, or rivaroxaban. Unfortunately, the assays are only calibrated to heparin and not the other oral 10A inhibitors. The increased use of oral 10A inhibitors and the increased use of anti-10A level to monitor heparin infusions collide in the hospital to make for some complicated scenarios. The presence of any of the oral factor 10A inhibitors can lead to a falsely elevated anti-10A level. When a heparin protocol is used, this will lead to an automatic holding or reduction in heparin dose. There's one report of this effect lasting 96 hours in a patient with poor renal function who was taking apixaban 5 milligrams PO twice daily. There are several reasons why a hospitalized patient may need to bridge from an oral factor 10A inhibitor to heparin. The two most common are the patient has a surgical procedure scheduled and needs to be switched to an anticoagulant with a more rapid onset and offset, or the patient had a thromboembolic event despite taking the oral factor 10A inhibitor and needs to be anticoagulated with heparin. In each of these scenarios, the ability to monitor the heparin infusion using anti-10A level is hampered by the presence of oral 10A inhibitors. The APTT, however, generally returns to normal or near normal 12 to 18 hours after the oral factor 10A inhibitors are discontinued. This means that in patients who were recently on oral factor Xa inhibitors, the APTT may be a better way to monitor heparin than anti-Xa levels. In a hospital that uses anti-Xa monitoring for heparin infusions, this makes for a complicated situation. It's common to have multiple heparin protocols, maybe one for VTE, one for cardiac, and another for neurocritical indications. Monitoring by APTT in selected patients recently on oral Xa inhibitors would mean the number of protocols would double from 3 to 6. As a recent clinical consultation in American Journal of Health System Pharmacy highlights, there is almost no guidance in prescribing information or other references on how to handle this drug laboratory assay interaction. Until the laboratory interference can be controlled for, hospitals with anti-Xa heparin protocols will need to develop APTT heparin protocols to use in patients who have recently received an oral Xa inhibitor. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.